back in 1992, we did a study that looked at women in the federal government and found that there was a glass ceiling that limited their advancement. And we decided that it was a time to do an update of that study. And what we found is that there's a great deal of progress that's been made. For example, women were only 11% of the senior executive service in 1990. That's now up over 30%. And we also looked at survey data and perceptions of work, and we're finding that the perceptions of women and men in terms of their treatment are much more comparable than they were then. So our sense is that issues such as sex-based discrimination and stereotyping, although they haven't gone away, are much less an issue than they were.
And Dr. Ferrantinos, why do you suppose that is?
Well, I think there have been a lot of changes over the years. There have been more opportunities for women to advance. We've had an increase, particularly for women, in their education levels and in their experience levels, which has allowed them to be much more competitive at the higher levels.
And so it seems like this has rubbed off on the managers who are responsible for making sure they get promoted.
Absolutely. We're also encouraging managers to make sure that they're focusing on those job-related characteristics, the education, the experience, and the other qualifications that make people qualified for their jobs, and not irrelevant characteristics such as their sex or their marital status or family status.
I guess there's a little bit of a disconnect, though, between what happens in the career workforce, because when you look at between them and the political workforce, because you look at across the cabinet, you've got Hillary Clinton, you've got Kathleen Sebelius, you've got Janet Napolitano, people that have attained the very top ranks that you can go to in the country. And so that must be look a little interesting to the people that are still toiling in the day-to-day workforce.
Well, I certainly think with political appointments, there is the opportunity for people to give opportunities to people who have come up from different routes. Within the federal government, you have opportunities for people to work their way up, but it may be a different career ladder than people who have opportunities from the outside.
Now, one of your report summary statements is agencies must continue efforts to recruit and advance qualified women, pay close attention to fairness, and so on. That recruiting and advancing area, let's talk about recruiting. What can be done there to make sure that the outcome eventually is the way we want it to be?
Certainly one thing that agencies can do is think broadly about where they look for talent and how they define their job requirements. Certainly one example we came across was the National Park Service, which was doing college recruitment for park rangers, trying to reach some non-traditional populations to bring people into an occupation that was historically dominated by men. So certainly broadening thinking about what it takes to succeed in the job and looking for new sources of talent can help to give you an applicant pool that is both more diverse and has more depth than what you might have gotten in the past.
And you also say federal agencies and managers have to look beyond past strategies, you said that they should educate employees on the competencies needed to enter mission-critical occupations and advance to the highest levels. Tell us what that's all about and how that can help women make stay on the equality track.
One of the things that the federal government offers that I think private sector employers don't always is the opportunity for people to work their way up the ranks. And certainly it's important that you do a good job in your current job, work hard. But if you make that transition into a professional occupation or an administrative occupation, something like IT or HR, I think it's important for employees to know that that's a real career change, and it takes not only hard work but a change in outlook, as well as continuing effort to develop your technical knowledge, as well as skills in things like project management, interpersonal relations. And I think it helps if agencies tell employees what they're looking for and give them some guidelines for how to manage the transition successfully.
We're speaking with James Sagawa. He's a senior research analyst in the Office of Policy and Evaluation at the Merit Systems Protection Board, and Dr. Cynthia Ferrantinos. She's a senior psychologist in the Office of Policy and Evaluation at the Merit Systems Protection Board. And Dr. Ferrantinos, it seems like the report is saying there's kind of a last mile to go there before everything is nirvana. Do you believe that maybe just another half generation or so of federal managers will make this problem basically go away?
Well, we certainly certainly seeing progress, but unfortunately sometimes closing the last bit of the gap is indeed the hardest. We're looking now at things that are relatively entrenched in the federal government, things that have been struggles for both men and women to overcome, but we are certainly seeing progress, but that doesn't mean that we can stop now and just wait for the remaining progress to occur. I think we need to look a little more closely at what is being, what are the barriers to women achieving the highest levels. We know from some past experiences that there are other issues that create these barriers. There are occupational differences that have created glass walls where women tend to be in certain occupations that aren't as likely to lead to the highest levels. So now that we're seeing more women in the professional and administrative ranks, there is more of a pipeline to say to reach the top levels. But there are still barriers that may prevent that. We're also seeing a lot of progress with education, where younger women are now surpassing men in educational levels and experience levels, which will certainly position them to better close that gap in the future.
And talking about some of those jobs that may not lead to the top, I mean, wouldn't that be also true of men? If you are in a technical or scientific area, for example, that's not likely to lead to the highest ranks of an agency, even though it could still be a satisfying career.
That is true. Many men still hold many of the line organization positions where women tend to be represented more heavily in the support positions. And those are the ones that are less likely to be the senior managers, the top leaders in the future.
And I wonder if you have spoken to some of the women who feel that glass ceiling. In other words, you evaluated survey results, but as a psychologist, have you talked to some of those people? And if so, what have they told you?
Well, we've had a lot of interesting input all along. We've had a lot of opportunities. When we go out and provide presentations, we certainly enjoy having the opportunity to hear from real people, you know, people across the country who work in these type of occupations, and they give us a lot of feedback on this. And I think there is still, you know, some sense that they're having to work harder to achieve some of the same end goals. But they're also seeing progress, and they're seeing people who are reaching out to them, both men and women at higher levels who are reaching out to provide support, to serve as mentors, to help them learn the ropes and learn how to reach the top levels.
And what can we do to make sure that when women are in those top ranks, the top managerial ranks, that the reverse doesn't happen, that men don't get a short shake, that everybody is equal no matter who's in charge?
Well, absolutely. We certainly want to make sure there's no discrimination on the basis of any of these bases, gender, men or women. And so we want to make sure that everyone has a fair opportunity and that we are really talking about fair and open competition for the jobs. So we would certainly recommend the same thing, whether or not there are men or women in these top positions, that they are focusing on looking for potential, not looking at the extraneous things such as gender, but focusing on the people who have the capabilities, who have the interest, who have the skills, who are willing to work to achieve the highest levels, and reaching out across the board to those folks.
And final question, who should be reading this report?
We directed our report to federal agencies, but making a lot of these things happen will really fall on the individual managers and supervisors as well as federal employees themselves. And so we're really encouraging anyone who has an interest in advancement or has a responsibility for managing people, either as a supervisor or project leader or team leader, to take a look at this report and think about what it means for them, not only in terms of their own careers, but how they manage people or deal with their coworkers in the workplace.